all the sports, all the news, Sportsfire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches, and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Rico.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Sportsfire. Welcome to our syndication partner listeners, West Coast FM in Namibia, 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Cowie FM in Port Alfred, Wild Coast FM in East London, and Eldo's FM in Johannesburg. Can't believe it's already November, almost the end of the year. Anyway, on the show tonight, we're going to be chatting to South African running great Ilana Meyer. We'll get her thoughts on what happened at the New York Marathon and what an incredible performance from South Africa's Lusapho April, coming third in the men's race. We'll also talk to her about her career and obviously what she's doing now with the EnduroCAD Academy. We'll also be chatting to Sportsfire rugby analyst Dan Retief. We'll get his thoughts on the internationals from the weekend and also look ahead to what's going to be happening with the box against Wales. South African golfer Tjaart van der Walt, one of the real good guys again on the Sunshine Tour. Well, he's actually played on five different tours, actually. But he got his first professional win after 17 years in the Cape Town Open at the weekend. Looking very forward to chatting to Tjaart van der Walt. Teletract analyst Shane McGregor after the charity mile at the weekend, and of course our off-the-wall analyst Norm. Clips tonight, something on the New York Marathon, Novak Djokovic, BBC Football News, Sebastian Vettel, and Australian cricket great Rod Marsh, who celebrates his birthday on the 5th of November. Twitter, at Joffa's my boy, Facebook, Graham Joffe, the website, sportsfire.co.za, and remember that Sportsfire is powered by Rico, South Africa's leading provider of document management solutions.
Daddy, why do you come here?
Because here I can be creative.
Why is that important?
Because that's how we create our document solutions.
Why do you need document solutions?
Because they revolutionize the way people work.
What's revolutionized?
At Rico, we have as many document solutions as a six-year-old has questions. Why? Because when integrated creatively, information and technology drive productivity and profitability. Rico, imagine, change.
Joffa's my boy in his soapbox, and I had to chuckle at the story on News 24 headlined, SAFA bans 15 officials for life. The life bans for 15 Free State officials for attempting to take SAFA to court, which is against FIFA regulations. Okay, what is against FIFA regulations is one thing, but it's amazing how nothing has happened to the SAFA officials who were implicated in the alleged match-fixing of the friendlies prior to the 2010 World Cup. Those allegations came to the fore at the end of last year, and who has been banned since? Not one person. So obviously these Free State officials are not part of the SAFA private family. SAFA maintained the officials should have approached the association directly instead of taking their grievances to court, and it could have been dealt with at its National Congress on September the 28th. Yes, of course. 15 people have a grievance with SAFA, and SAFA will deal with it. SAFA President Danny Jordan quoted as saying, "This ruling should send out a strong message that SAFA will not tolerate individuals who flagrantly violate FIFA statutes by taking football matters to courts." Give me a break. That's why nothing has happened in the match-fixing scandal, because SAFA are dealing with it. The slippery slope continues in South African sport. And hey, I still haven't got my invite to the SA Sports Awards. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink.
This is Sportsfire with Graham Joffe, powered by Rico.
All right, it was the New York Marathon at the weekend. Great event, great sporting event, great spectacle. And for the runners and fans returning to the Big Apple after a hurricane-induced hiatus, and remember the whole drama around the Boston Marathon bombings last April. So all eyes on New York, and what a special event.
Wait, breathe.
Amazing energy. It's like one of the best days in the city. It's just like, it's emotional. I'm like, you can see I'm crying a little bit. It's just like watching these guys. First of all, they're so amazingly fit, but just the city comes together and just the energy just lifts up. It's amazing. The guys in the wheelchairs are amazing. They make me cry every time. It's just like, trying for the human spirit. Nothing better than this. Just watching people just like, some of them like finishing like literally with nothing left in their tank, and some are just like plowing through. It's an incredible feeling.
This is the first year with all the high security and since Hurricane Sandy.
felt I needed to come out and support the runners and support the city. It's kind of a pain getting your bags checked. I understand why they had to do it, but it's unfortunate that it seems to have put a little bit of a damper on the celebration at the finish line, but the terrorists aren't going to stop me from coming out to celebrate.
This is my first New York. I came last year and got canceled when I was at the Expo, so came back this year to run. Went well. It was a little windy for the first 20 or so miles. Course-wise, it's pretty hilly. It's a pretty tough course. The number of people on the course, by far the most here than I've ever seen on a marathon course before.
It's my first marathon. Mile 23, 24, that's when I started to feel it, and the last 2 miles, I was just basically pushing through the pain, and the crowd kind of just like pushed me through, and like I had my name on my shirt, Stephanie, so everybody was cheering me on, Stephanie, go Stephanie, throughout the whole entire race, so it just felt really good. It was just a lot of fun.
Yep, the New York Marathon, and hopefully just in the next short while, we're going to be chatting to Ilana Meyer about the New York Marathon itself, what she's up to, and just to put in perspective what Lusapo April did at the weekend, finishing third in the men's race at the New York Marathon. Unfortunately, Lana, at the moment, Lana, if you are listening, we're actually just trying to get hold of you, having problems getting through to that Cape Town number. Let's see what else. Let's talk a little bit about tennis, what happened at the weekend. Novak Djokovic, still on track to become world number one at the end of the year. Djokovic beat David Ferrer in straight sets to win the Paris Masters. The world number two coming back from a breakdown in both sets to win it 7-5, 7-5. And just picked up on some light humor, Novak Djokovic. Always looks quite a serious guy. But Head Tour TV recently did a player-player to interview with Novak Djokovic.
Hello, everybody. This is Novak Djokovic, and we are at the moment in Paris. And I got some questions from a fellow colleague tennis players, and I'm going to answer in the first, and let's see what they asked me.
Hi, Novak. I guess you remember that you gave me a pair of socks a few years ago. I have a question for you. Do you remember where it was, and do you want them back?
It's a good question. Thanks, Gilou. I remember it was in Shanghai. I think the year was 2010. You can keep them. Okay, let's see the next question.
Hi, Novak. We obviously played some long matches the last few years. We played 5 hours in the semifinals of Australian Open, 5 hours in the final of the US Open. But what I want to know is, do you remember what the score was and how long the first time the match was when we played against each other when we were 12 years old?
I knew it. I knew it. The correct answer is in France. We played a tournament 12 and under. We were, 11 or 12 years old. And I'm sure that the match went under an hour and the score was, he knows. For him, I got almost bageled. 6-2, 6-0. All right. Next question.
Hey, Novak, I have a question for you. Do you remember the first time we played in junior tournaments? Who won? What was the score?
Oh, my God.
I want to know if you remember in junior.
They're killing me with this. I lost to all of you. I lost to you, Richard, also. Where did we play? Anyway, he asked me a question. When was the first time we played and what was the score? So for sure, he would ask me that question only if he would win that first match. So he won the first match. I don't remember where and what was the score. But it was pretty bad, I'm sure, because at that time, it was too good for me. Okay.
Hey, Novak, I have a question for you. I lost 7 times against you. My question is, what is the tactic to beat you for the next match? Thanks for your answer.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jeremy, but I cannot answer on that question. I will let you figure that out.
Hi, Novak. This is a question for you. I've read in the newspapers that you bought extremely huge amounts of donkey cheese in Serbia, so I wanted to check if this is the strength that gives you to be number one, and how does it taste, this donkey cheese?
This is a good question. Thank you, Martin, for your great question. I never tasted donkey cheese, as funny as it sounds. The story went out quite big that I bought all the supplies of a Dunkin' Cheese in Serbia, and I didn't do that. My family owns the chain of the restaurants in Serbia, and we were offered a cooperation with a company that produces this Dunkin' Cheese. So I never tasted it, but let's see, next time when I taste it, I will answer better on your question. All right, that's it. I completed all five questions. Thank you guys for asking me. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it very much.
That is Novak Djokovic with some of the players' questions from Head TV. Ilana Meyer, I think we will manage to get hold of her in a short while to chat about the New York Marathon and obviously get her thoughts on what happened with Lusapha April, and also chat to her about her career and what she's up to now. But first, we're going to talk some rugby with our SportsFire rugby analyst, Dan Retief. Danny, good evening to you, boy.
Yes, hi, Joffers. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Okay, Boks have arrived in a cold, wet Wales, supposedly. What's the latest scoop?
Well, nothing surprising there. When you arrive in Wales at this time of the year, it is cold and wet. The reality, of course, is that when it's cold and wet, it really is in the favour of the home side. Teams that have come to South Africa over the years, and especially when they play at Ellis Park and at Loftus, they complain about the altitude. But I must tell you, for a South African player or an Australian player, especially players that come from warm countries who are used to playing on hard, dry fields, the adaptation to a cold, wet field when your fingers are frozen and your eyes are watering and your nose is a red blob, the ball actually hurts your fingers. It's tough. It's hard to do. But, of course, Wales have one thing other than that you don't have in Scotland or in France, for instance. Wales can close the roof of the Millennium Stadium. And over the years, Wales used to play games with that roof. You recall with Harry Fulhuin, they got into a sort of a skirmish about whether the roof should be open or not. And Harry made the famous remark, I think he picked it up from Tim Horan, saying, you know, it's like having a Ferrari but parking it outside. You know, and so they seem to close the roof now. That game's going to be at 5:30 in the evening. So they probably will close the roof to keep the elements out. The surface should be good, and so it will be cold, and the Boks have complained about that before, but their record against Wales is excellent. Wales have only beaten South Africa once in more than 100 years, you know, and just before we even get into that, I really believe, unlike what everybody else is saying, I think the Springboks are favourites for this game.
Yeah, so 5:30 Wales time, that'll be 7:30 South African time. And then, you know, the Welsh, they made up a big part of that British and Irish Lions squad that went to Australia earlier this year and, you know, and really beat the Aussies and quite well. They must be brimming with some kind of confidence to beat the Boks.
Yeah, they seem to be. You know, with Warren Gatland is talking it up. He's very confident. The last time they played the Springboks was at the Rugby World Cup in 2011 when we were somewhat lucky to win 17-16 when our replacement winger dived over under the crossbar to score a fabulous try. Do you remember him? He was called Francois Hochard. You know, all of 2 years ago, Joffers, we were all ecstatic about Francois Hochard, is now not even around. And they lost closely 17-16. So Warren Gatland's talking it up. And they're basing a lot of their confidence on the fact that the British and Irish Lions smashed Australia 41-10 in the last test. And that team was full of 10 Welshmen. You know, you look at the Welshmen in the line-out, Lee Halfpenny, Jonathan Davies, Jamie Roberts, George North, Mike Phillips, Toby Faletau, Dan Lydiate, Alan Wynne-Jones, who captained them on the day, Adam Jones, Richard Hibbard. You know, they're Welshmen all over the place. But I think the Welsh are barking up the wrong tree, because what we've seen in this season is that Australia are really quite weak. You know, they don't trouble us and they don't trouble New Zealand, and I think they might be attaching too much importance to having beaten Australia with a really weak pack. The Australia pack is not quite up to it, and that's not going to be the case with the Springboks. The Springboks have got a very big, very powerful pack. So the Welsh pack will be up against it straight away. And I think there's another factor. The new scrum law does suit us. You know, the new law that says, you know, get into position and bind. I think that law enables the scrummages to scrum. Obviously a big test for Kuni Westhuizen, but it's time to look at it. You know, is he going to be the man? He certainly has all the physical attributes, and now he just needs to learn the tricks. I really honestly believe that there's just too much talk. You know, the Welsh haven't played. The British Lions played in June. The Welsh as a team haven't played since the Six Nations. The Springboks have just come out of the Rugby Championship, the toughest, hardest tournament in the world, you know, and they came out, you know, what, at the end of last month. So, no, I don't agree with all the pre-talk. I think it's Warren Gatland trying to hype his team up. I think South Africa are the favourites to win this test match. If you go man for man, we're a better side. And then the other thing, which will only be revealed later in the week, is how many of the Welsh players are injured. You know, are they going to have their full team? Are they going to have the big Jamie Roberts in the centre? He's been injured. Are they going to have Alex Cuthbert on the wing? What are they going to do about Mike Phillips, who's had problems at his French club? You know, so let's see who they pick. But, you know, I've told you I'm going to be away at a golf tournament in Turkey. But if we do get together on Thursday night, I will be predicting a Springbok win.
Danny, just quickly, Brayton Paulser says keep the back three intact. I think it was on News 24 today. And so the back three, Kirshner, Habana and LaRue, are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, I think what they're looking at there, again, is they're all quite tall and they're all very good under the high ball. And so for teams kicking at us, they stand their ground. And modern rugby teams are doing a lot of that. And Zane Kirshner, as much as we tend to be critical of him, the one thing you can't hold against him, he's very brave coming for the high ball. He really commits himself and comes in hard. And I'm sure that Brady was approached because of the presence now of Geo Aplon in the side. And that is the big no-no against Geo Aplon, is he can be out-jumped in the air, you know. And I think what Brady is saying, you know, they're starting to work as a team. They're doing things together. I must say, Zane Kirshner showed a little bit of attacking appetite playing with Willie Rourou, that hadn't been there in his previous test, you know. So maybe they are starting to find each other. And I think for the first test on tour, do what you've been doing, you know. But, you know, even if I was a coach and I do tend to say, please, let's do differently. And I would, for instance, be thinking of getting Patrick Lambie in at fly half to see if we can take our game to the next level or play a more exciting brand of rugby. But if the weather's bad and it's cold and the field is soggy, then, you know, go in with a team that have been playing together, who understand each other, and who might be good in that sort of attritional game that Wales might try to play.
The Victor Matfield story from the weekend, coming out of retirement, I don't know if it's confirmed, but Heinie Kamea leaving the door open for Victor's return. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I was gobsmacked, you know. But I think Heinie Kamea has obviously been vindicated by what Fereu Dupriet did. You know, I was pretty much, I raised my eyebrows about Fereu Dupriet coming back, and he came back and played outstandingly. He, of course, is a much younger man than Victor Matfield, and something that has happened since 2011 when he had a poor Rugby World Cup up to now is that his injuries have cleared up. You know, Victor Matfield's gone the other way. He hasn't been playing any rugby at all. He's now on the wrong side of 37. He doesn't look like he's going to be a player that could be around in 2015. The exact same question you have to ask about Bucky's Buerta. You know, what's Bucky's Buerta going to be like, 2 years from now? So I didn't understand what was going on there. But I and Victor's not taking calls. But what one can piece together that he's been training with the Bulls. He obviously gets into the line-out. He's the finest line-out forward ever to don the green and gold jersey. And clearly what's happened is Victor's still feeling very good. He's feeling fresh and what's happening in training, he's saying, look, I can still do this. And he's going to come back. But, you know, all we can hope for is that he doesn't come back on reputation, that he comes back in the Bulls, and that whatever happens from that, whether it be with the Bulls and then with the Springboks, that he earns it. You know, a very similar thing happened to Osterhunt. You know, that retired, his knees were gone. He felt his rugby had been taken away from him. He was brought into the Free State after two bad years on the farm. He worked out with the Free State guys. Eventually, he got back into the scrum because he needed to show them how to do it. And suddenly, he also realized, well, his knees weren't so bad. Then, if you recall, Jake White brought him back, and he then became the only South African to win a second gold medal at a Rugby World Cup. But you need to remember that Os was considerably younger than Victor is now, you know. So my view about that is, if a bloke believes he can do it, there's nothing like the power of the mind. But he has to earn it.
Right, there's two internationals on the weekend. We'll just have a quick look at those. England beating Australia 2013, your thoughts?
Yeah, a dreadful test match. I mean, it went nowhere, boring, kicking the ball backwards and forwards. And as I've said, Australia are not a particularly good side at the moment. I think England are very rusty, having not played for a while. And that maybe is a pointer to what might happen to Wales against the Springboks, who have played more recently, you know. And then again, the shocking refereeing errors. the England player, the England fullback is in touch. Everybody could see he was in touch. Australia lose a scrum, a line out 5 metres from the England line and end up 5 metres from their own line, and soon after that concede a try. You know, that knocks the stuffing out of a team, you know, and I think it did sort of rather damage the Australian psyche, you know. So England, I still say, England are looking good for 2015. You know, they're a competent side. They found this ability under Stuart Lancaster to win a game that is sort of getting away from them. They were down in this game. They weren't looking quite good. They obviously got the largesse of the referee, but they took their chances and they won. So England is definitely a side to keep an eye on for 2015, especially it's going to be in London. It's going to be at Twickenham. So, you know, England, they're young, they're strong, and they're very focused.
Finally, New Zealand trouncing Japan 54-6.
Yeah, I see everybody saying that the best thing that happened there is that the Japan didn't get a really bad hiding, you know. But what you did see is that the biggest player on the field wasn't the Japanese for Japan. And that is always going to be their problem, is finding the size. I thought the Japanese did very well. I mean, they started out by winning a tight head, which is astonishing. You know, I think you could almost see the surprise on the All Black players' faces, because obviously those little sumo wrestlers took them down low and got a quick strike on the ball and did it. But Japan, you know, if you really studied the way they play, there's still not much going on. But they weren't rolled over. It was a big occasion in Tokyo. You know, the next Rugby World Cup in 2019 is going to be there. And I think there was all part about spreading the gospel. And the All Blacks were there on behalf of their sponsor, spreading the gospel. They got a nice full crowd. And I think it was all pretty useful. And what it also did serve to do is extend that All Black winning record, you know, which they're building on again, before they now hit the Northern Hemisphere and go straight into it against England.
Dan Retief, our SportsFire rugby analyst. Danny, we'll hopefully chat again Thursday when you're in Turkey, and we'll also just preview the Wales-South Africa game for the weekend.
Look forward to that.
Cheers then, Dan. Right, Formula One, Sebastian Vettel. Been a machine this year. I mean, how's the story, I mean, and the results, and the world champion, has already been crowned world champion. He won the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at the weekend for his 7th consecutive victory, 11th win of the season. And before the race, Vettel spoke about his feelings, how he celebrated becoming a 4-time world champion the weekend before.
Obviously, a great relief when I crossed the line on Sunday. Great feeling. Sunday night, obviously, the whole team still had to do the pack up, but we had a little bit of fun in the hotel bar, quite spontaneous. Obviously, there's not a lot of time between India and the race here, so the team is basically very busy, so we couldn't go completely mad, but had a good time on Sunday night, and then had 2 days at home before coming here again. Fairly quiet, not very spectacular, so... Yeah, just enjoyed the peace at home. I had some time for myself, back with my girlfriend as well. So, yeah, fairly quiet.
Probably history will remember this achievement as you, in a strong team with a strong car, beating a very strong field of drivers, the gentlemen sitting around you here. Is that the way you see it?
Well, I think that's the way it always has been. You know, I'm sure, when Lewis won his title in 2008, he was, with a strong team facing strong drivers. Same for Fernando in 2005 and 2006. So, yeah, even, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, I think it has always been the name of the game. So that's, I think, how people remember the past. And one day, you know, we'll remember what we are doing now.
I've just got wind of an imminent security breach.
Don't worry, I've already destroyed Document Y.
You did what?
Relax, Bo. I first converted it into digital format with Document Manager NX.
Great. Now everyone has access to it.
I saved it as a password-protected PDF.
Really?
And I'm tracking any activity on it.
Darn it. Is document management that good? I'll soon be out of a job.
You want to know my secret? A secure document solution from Rico. I'll even give you the password. Rico.co.za. Rico. Imagine change.
We're going to be chatting golf now with the Sunshine Tour winner from the weekend, Tjaart van der Walt. Just before we go to Tjaart, I know on the US Tour, it was the HSBC World Championship event, Dustin Johnson the winner. I think Ernie finished back in 11th place, if I'm not mistaken. And I was looking at some of the stories today. Dustin Johnson dating Wayne Gretzky's daughter. The great NHL hockey player Wayne Gretzky from the LA Kings dating his daughter. He's dating Dustin Johnson. Looks like quite a hottie as well. All right, it's time to talk a local golf now, and it was the Cape Town Open at the weekend, and another one of the real good guys on the Sunshine Tour came up trumps. Tjaart van der Walt, who's been around for a long time, a journeyman, and after 17 years without a win, but plenty runner-up finishes, the monkey is off the back. Tjaart, great to have you on Sportsfire. Congrats, my boy.
Thanks very much, Joffrey.
Wow. I mean, when I saw you last, I think it was at Joburg Country Club, and you said, don't worry, this year I'm going to win one.
Yeah, no, well, maybe you got that momentum going for me there. Thank you.
No, that's fantastic. And, you know, Cape Town winning it by 6 shots as well, Tjaart. I mean, it's a really big win, and it must have been just a sense of relief almost.
Yeah, you know, Joppers, it's one of those things where, you know, I've told most people in the press yesterday that, you know, you've got to just keep going and trying. And we've tried different things over the years. We've gone through, you know, some injuries, changes of tours. But it's good to win, and it's good to do it in that sort of style by that many shots. Was it ever easy? No. Yeah, we over the moon.
I'm sure. When did you know you had it won?
Well, to be honest, I'm always a big board watcher, and yesterday I didn't want to watch or pay too much attention to it, and I just needed to go. You know, I knew if I could just stay out of trouble on the back nine, maybe it'll be a little easier coming down the stretch. And then when I walked up 17, I think Gavin was following us, the on-course commentator, Gavin Levinson, and he winked at me a couple of times. And, you know, I guess walking up 18, that's when you realize, you know, what can I do here to win? And it was enough was done already. I had a 6-shot lead. You know, we don't always know as players exactly where we stand, but I knew there was a lead, and the scoreboard on 17 showed it. But you never know. You just got to get that ball in the hole.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, and first win after 17 years as a pro, but, Tjaart, that doesn't really tell the story. I mean, 13 runner-up finishes on 5 tours around the world. I mean, that's probably almost a record.
Well, I wouldn't know that. The media would probably tell me or give us a better record, but I know it's been close. I think twice Europe, once on the PJ Tour, you know, Asia, Sunshine Tour. It's been close. That's my tour I've played. It's been a good journey, but it is good to get the win under the belt. And you know, the whole day, my wife's sitting next to me in the car, and the grin is side to side. Couldn't go to sleep last night because is someone going to take it away from us, sort of thing, you know? It was an emotional sort of couple of hours there after the round, and we managed to celebrate with friends and sponsors, and yeah, it's an amazing feeling. Can't really always put the right words into it, but it has been a journey, and I'm glad that we could get the win, and after 13, now lucky number 14, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm extremely happy for you as well. And I mean, was that your wife on your bag? Is she your caddy?
Well, Vicky has always stepped in when the help is needed. Yes, and we had an interesting situation that happened where, basically, I guess I got fired from the caddy, and Vic said, "Well, it's time." She actually caddied to me a few times this year, and. She caddied Perth a couple of weeks ago, and we missed the cut, but we committed and said, let's give it a shot. And she did a fantastic job, you know, kept me focused and, you know, said the right stuff. Because let's be honest, I'm not the easiest guy on the golf course. like, it's not the easiest game to play, so we, we share and you know, live everything in the moment. It's not always the easiest, but I think I'm a fairly decent boss.
I'm loving. So,
it was good.
No, I mean, I'm loving this story, and I mean, has she got the check, or have you just has she got the winner's check, or are you just giving her a com?
Well, you know what, Joffers, you know the deal, man. The caddy gets 10% and the wife gets 90 after tax. So, you know, I'm a good
scooter. Oh, God. Oh, boy. I mean, you've been a proper journeyman. I mean, 5 tours around the world. You're 39 now, if I'm not mistaken. Are there plans to get that PGA Tour card back to play in the States?
It's always the goal, you know. Half my life is in the States. I've always lived there. It's been a place where a lot of opportunities, you know, from a young 18-year-old going over there and making a life for me over there. But we're enjoying Europe at the moment. I would like to play the tour there again. And maybe my best golf is still to come. You know, who says you got to just win in your 30s or whatever? You know, a lot of guys made a good career in the early 40s and into their late 40s. So maybe the 40s is going to be my 50s. Who knows?
And your favorite course worldwide?
Fancourt.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. The Lynx or the other two, Montague or Otanequa?
Montague is my favorite. Don't get to play Lynx too often, but yeah, Montague is my favorite.
Favorite club in the bag?
Haha, putter. Mr. Krumsky.
And then your plans then for the rest of the year? I take it you're playing in the SA Open at Glendower?
Yeah, actually, we're just driving back from Cape Town. We're pulling into George now. We got to leave Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to Spain. I didn't play too well in Europe this year, so we got to go get our tour card back. So that starts on Sunday. And then we're back on the 16th, 17th, and the SA Open starts that week. So I'm playing SA Open, Daniel. Let's hope for the best $1 million, because the winner of either one of those get in there. And then we got the Nelson Mandela at Mount Edgecombe. So it's a busy next 6 weeks or 7 weeks are very, very busy for us.
So that's a new innovation. The winner of the SA Open and the winner of the Daniel get automatic invites to the million, well, the Nedbank Golf Challenge.
Correct.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking on information that was passed on, but I think I'm quite correct in saying that, yes.
Finally, Chad, I'll let you go now. It's been great chatting to you, but just more about Chad van der Walt, where you grew up and how you got started playing golf and, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, playing, obviously, you know, caddied for my dad at Irene Country Club. That's where we grew up, Centurion, and never really got to play too much till I was probably in standard 9 or matric even, you know. Played maybe a holiday round or two with friends on holiday. Got my first really set of clubs when I was in matric and or standard 9 even. And just gone from to strength. Irene Dainfin, the guys at Dainfin was always good to me. But my dad played a big role in that. I used to go and caddy for him when him and my elder brother played at Irene. And yeah, Dad was a great sort of motivation or role model in the golfing or sport in general. He let us play all sports and enjoy ourselves. And then I found a liking in golf, and I wouldn't change it.
And are you married now? I mean, you are married. So are you married now? Have you got any kids?
No kids, Joffers. I'm 59 for two, so we've been married now 4 years, and yeah, it's going strong.
Fantastic, Chart. And really, my boy, congratulations on that first pro win, and I'm sure there's plenty more in the tank, and look forward to catching up with you sometime soon.
Thanks, Joffers. Great show. Thank you.
Cheers, Chart.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC with the latest from the English Premier League. Andre Villas-Boas says he was right to leave Hugo Lloris on the field for the full 90 minutes, despite the keeper being knocked unconscious in Tottenham's goalless draw with Everton. Lloris received lengthy treatment after diving at the feet of Everton's Romelu Lukaku, but convinced his manager he should be allowed to play on.
He still doesn't remember the incident with Lukaku, so obviously lost consciousness there, and difficult moment for us to take, but he seemed very assertive and determined to continue, and shows great character and personality. So we decided to keep him on based on his determination, and I think that it was the right decision.
Swansea City's Jonjo Shelvey could face action from the FA after television footage emerged, apparently showing him attempting to incite Cardiff fans following Sunday's South Wales derby. The Cardiff City captain, Stephen Corker, scored the only goal in a 1-0 win for Cardiff. It's been a turbulent few weeks behind the scenes at Cardiff, with questions over the role of the owner, Vincent Tan, and the departure of chief scout Ian Moody, and the appointment of his 23-year-old Kazakh replacement. But manager Malky Mackay says he remains focused.
What I've got is the pressure of every week winning in this division, or making sure that we're in this division next year. That's the pressure. It's the pressure of every football manager. You're in that every Saturday. That's my focus. I've got, without a doubt, a steely determination about myself and what we've got here, and what myself and my staff have been building here for 2 years, and I won't let anything else upset that or disrupt that.
Mikel Arteta says opponents are starting to fear Arsenal. The Gunners are 5 points clear at the top of the table after the weekend's action. The midfielder played in the 2-0 win over Liverpool on Saturday and said afterwards, "We have more belief and are starting to create a bit of fear into the opposition. When you're on a good run, it makes everything a bit easier." Well, the Liverpool boss, Brendan Rodgers, believes Arsenal are now genuine contenders for the Premier League title.
I think they've been in and around that top four for 15 odd years. So obviously they started the season well after their defeat here, done very well in the league. They've obviously a couple of disappointments in the Champions League, but I've seen them here against Napoli and I thought they were outstanding. So they're one of the leading teams in Europe, so they're going to be a chance of winning it, of course.
And for more football news from the BBC, use your mobile phone. Just go to bbc.com/mobile.
Soccer 6 is your chance to score big. Over 4 million rand is won on Soccer 6 every week, and it's easy to play. To win, you must forecast the results of 6 matches. Play by phone, online, or on your mobile. Soccer 6, your best soccer bet.
Still no luck with Ilana Mayer. Hopefully we'll still get to her before the end of the show. But we've got Teletrack analyst Shane McGregor after what was a busy football weekend as well as horse racing. Hello, Shane Mack.
Jaffers, how are you, man?
Very good, and you, my boy?
Yeah, good to be again, you know.
Good, my boy. Let's chat English Premiership first. Arsenal still top after that 2-0 win over your Liverpool. I actually never saw the game. Was it any good?
I actually didn't watch a game either, you know, funny enough. But I believe Liverpool went at the races like I was. You know, I went to the races on Saturday and they weren't there. I mean, shocking performance, I believe. And yeah, you know, that's expected in Liverpool, up and down. But a good 2-0 win for Arsenal. Keeps them top.
Man City 7, Norwich 0. My Canaries, early relegation contenders. That's a proper hiding.
No, that is a proper hiding, and that was due from a Man City team that have been playing fairly well, just haven't been converting. And Joffers, I hate to say this, but your team's definitely relegation candidates, and I think your manager will be looking for a new job very soon. I can't see them keeping him. You know, they had no clue, and unfortunately, it's going to be a long season for you.
Yeah, when you're leaking 7 goals in a game, you know there's massive problems.
That's for sure, especially, you know, the way the form has been. You know, and I don't know how they're going to change it. And the only way I can see it is bringing someone else in and trying to change and do it that way.
Maybe Delia. I think Delia, she's like a master chef. She's the chair lady of the club. I think they've got to get her on the touchline.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Some food for thought, no pun intended. Okay, so surprise result of the weekend, Newcastle beating Chelsea 2-0.
Yeah, well, you know what Mourinho's like. He's come out in the press and said he made 11 mistakes on Saturday, the 11 he put on the field, you know, and he's not one to keep quiet. He had a full go, and that's what he said, you know, and he says there'll be changes, and by the time we woke up, he says it looked like we were playing a friendly in the first half, so not happy with his Chelsea team, and he's very worried about the waveform, which is a bit of a problem. But anyway, we'll see. I'm sure they'll bounce back.
I like that line. I made 11 mistakes in the 11 plays he picked.
I thought it was brilliant.
United finding some kind of form. I mean, that's two wins in a row after the 3-1 win at Fulham.
Yeah, another Fulham team that's struggling, you know, and Martin Jol, another one of those managers looking over his shoulder. And it's good for United and it's good for the league. They needed to find a bit of form and it's come at the right time. And, you know, they always come right in December over the Christmas and New Year period and they seem to be doing it again. And, yeah, good luck to them. Maybe buying one or two players in the new transfer window, they'll go on and, you know, be right there at the end. I think a top four finish for them is more than what they want now at this stage.
Have you got a banker for this week, football-wise?
I've actually got three, and they all come on Tuesday night in European League. I got Man City to beat CSKA Moscow.
Yeah.
I got Man United, as we were talking about them, to beat Real Sociedad. And then Bayern Munich to beat Victoria Plzeň. They're all short price, but if you put them together, you're going to get between 18 to 10 and 2 to 1. I think it'll be a good bet.
You gave us a horse racing banker last week, and I can't remember what it was. Don't tell me it was
Dante
the winner.
Duke. No, it was Dante Duke. It ran third, a very dirty third. Less said about the ride, the better. But anyway, we won't go there. I got myself into trouble before with the same jockey, but yeah. Okay, Ned. But yeah, no, it was a bad ride. But anyway, but it's a good horse to watch and to follow, and at a way, win a fair share of racing.
Right. So you did your cash. We won't go any further into that. But if you back the 25-1 shot Zulu Warrior winning the charity mile, Carl Zechner, I think a very underrated jockey, Kumra Naidu, also just a very maybe underrated trainer, and that I take it that was a big shock.
Was a big shock, you know, and obviously made the pick six pay quite a bit, you know, and yeah, it was a big surprise. But you've got to go back 2 years to this horse. It's had its injury worries, had its injury problems. This horse was nominated, they were going to nominate it for the July 2 years ago until it got injured. So it's not really a surprise to the connections. They've always rated the horse, always thought it had a lot of ability. And as I say, a lot of injury setbacks, and that's what's cost it. But we'll see. I think they're going to enter in the Summer Cup, and we'll see from there.
I thought that horse used to be with Paul Lafferty, but I must be wrong.
It's always been
Kumara Naidu's.
Yeah, so I think it's always been with him, if I'm not mistaken.
Other big performances on the day, highlights-wise, from the horse racing?
Well, there was, you know, Chikeli winning race four, making a 3-from-3 from Alex Lairdyard. You know, it's not a very easy game, like that 3 out of 3, and won a good race again. And then Winter Star, that won the Ridge Run Cup, you know. Also had a couple of problems before this, in the last couple of months, and bounced back to its best and won a good race. And I think that could also go on to do things. And as a fairly new trainer, JJ from Fevern, you know, he hasn't been in game long. And, you know, good luck to him and good luck to his owners.
You said the payouts were pretty big. Pick six-wise, PA-wise?
Well, the pick six on Saturday got up to 3.9 million. There were four winners paying 520,000. And the PA, you know, 1.57 million, 1,371 winners collecting 1,300 rand. And yours truly was one of those winners in the PA. So quite happy about that.
Very nice. Very
and
nice.
And then Sunday's one, you know, Sunday's pick six got to 931,000 with two winners' offers, 450,000. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, love your work, Shane Mack.
Yeah, nothing wrong, Joff.
Okay, my boy. Good chatting. We'll catch up again next Monday.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Joff. Keep
warm. Cheers, then. Shane McGregor, Tele Track Analyst. Celebrity birthdays for the 4th of November. Nigel Worthington, the Northern Irish footballer. Luis Figo, the Portuguese footballer. Jerry Collins, the New Zealand rugby player. And Adrian Zaug, the South African racing driver, born this day in 1986. I wonder what's happened to him. Adrian Zaug. Name's gone pretty quiet of late. Anyway, also born this day, 1947, the Australian cricketer, wicketkeeper, Rodney Marsh, a.k.a. Iron Gloves. And if you go back to that 1983-1984 Test cricket season, there was a Test match. I think it was against the West Indies when nothing could happen in the match, no result. And the wicketkeeper, Rodney Marsh, took the ball and bowled a few overs. He didn't get any wickets, but it was a piece of Australian cricket history.
With the utmost respect, and bowls a maiden over.
And Rod Marsh can't wait to get to the bowling crease again. Should do a Clary Grimmett and bowl with his cap on. And a bit of friendly advice from Greg Chappell about where, how, and what to do. Have a bowl, Kim, is the cry.
Marsh to Sarfraz. big appeal for LBW. Very grim look on his face. Why didn't you give it to umpire Crafter? That's what?
Spun a bit, but it struck him.
Boy, I don't know, that was Rodney Marsh, maybe grimacing or growling, but that didn't sound too good. Anyway, that's a piece of history going back in time with Rodney Marsh, who celebrates his birthday today on the 4th. Was it the 5th of November? Can't remember now. Anyway, not important. We've managed to track down Ilana Meyer, one of South Africa's great running, well, legendary greats. Let's talk about that in running terms. Ilana, great to have you on Sportsfire tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Graham. Sorry about that. You tried earlier on.
We did try earlier on, but we've got you now, which is the most important thing.
Fantastic.
You asked for 10 minutes. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay. Right, we played something from the New York Marathon. I just wanted to get your thoughts because I thought it was an amazing performance from Lusapha April, third in the New York Marathon, 73 seconds outside his personal best. He finished in 2:09:45. That is really big for South African marathon running.
Absolutely. I was absolutely delighted to see Lusapha April doing so well in New York. It was really a world-class field, you know, and then coming back from his marathon earlier this year, winning Hannover Marathon, I think, you know, he showed consistency and really performed the way South African marathoners should.
And it's what it does for us, it gives more people the impetus, realizing that, you know, the Kenyans are dominating all the time, but as South Africans, I mean, we've got the facilities, we've got the finance, we've got the infrastructure. We should be up there in world marathon running.
You know, I don't know if I totally agree with your, you know, I think we have the talent. I think, you know, that most probably the system is not supporting
the athletes to
achieve what they should, you know. So, but I'm a very strong believer in, you know, South Africa has got the talent. I think in the 80s, in the 90s, you know, South Africa won numerous international marathons. You know, Josiah Ntuguane winning the Olympics, Willie Matolu, Mark Clarkish, you know, even though it was in a vest of USA, you know, he's the boy from the Cape Flats. You know, so I think South Africa has the talent, you know, but then over the last two decades, we certainly lost some track over the from the Kenyans, you know, I think they took over. But they were there in the 90s, and South Africa competed and, you know, was on the same level. I think over the last two decades, we've started to decline, you know, and we went from in the 90s having 45 performances under 215 to a mere 6 in the last decade. So I think, you know, we have the talent, you know, and it certainly needs to be supported to be able to perform on the highest level.
You touched on the system, and I can't agree with you more. Between SASCOG, between ASA, the system doesn't work. It doesn't give the athletes what they really deserve. And, you know, these guys need to be full-time athletes. It's no good trying to work full-time and then trying to be a world-class marathon runner. And so sad to see about the Soweto Marathon. But Alana, these politics have been in our sport forever. It just doesn't seem to end.
You know, I think it's a pity. I think, you know, the Athletics Federation certainly haven't served the athletes over the last decade. And, you know, but I'm also strong, you know, I don't believe in, you know, I think you can do what you can do. You know, I can't necessarily get involved on a federation level, but, you know, I believe that we can assist the athletes to perform well. And that's why, you know, we've launched SA High Performance Endurance Academy, EnduroCAD, in June, and through the academy, we'd like to facilitate excellence. You know, we need a model of collaboration. We work with the current structure or lack of it, you know, working with clubs, working with the federations, working with individuals, working with high performance centers to facilitate excellence. And that's what we do through EnduroCAD.
I want to talk more about EnduroCAD. You're the ambassador. Couldn't be a better person to do it. Are you guys in going? Do you have people within the academy, athletes that you guys are looking after, or is it more going to different clubs, going to schools, and going to high performance centres and actually giving them the necessary information and training, basically training basics?
You know, it's a combination. I think we've launched in June. In combination with the launch, we also hosted our first skills assessment training camp, where we invited 20 of South Africa's most promising youngsters. You know, so we're looking for the up and coming to attend this assessment camp in Stellenbosch in conjunction with Sports Science and SAS. And we tested some of South Africa's most promising youngsters and did a whole battery of physiological testing, psychological testing, and out of the athletes attending, we've selected the first batch of athletes going into the satellite groups. You know, with time, we will populate the satellites and then out of that, select athletes to come into a full academy. But obviously, you know, it's not, there's no instant gratification there. You know, it really is a long-term process. You know, you can't just pick athletes and sort of put them in one space and believe that you're going to achieve success, you know. So it is a process that needs to happen. You know, we've selected our first group. End of the month, we will have our second assessment camp. We will invite again, you know, some of South Africa's up-and-coming young athletes, testing who has got the physical ability, who's got the right psychological makeup, you know, and then start assisting the athletes. You know, what is it that you need to move to the next level? You know, some athletes need a coach, you know, so the bare minimum, you know, it's just that they haven't got a coach, you know, so they will benefit from coaching, schedules, you know, have got the opportunity to work with a coach, even though it's maybe in, you know, over the distance, distance coaching. But if they show commitment to the process, you know, we will start inviting them into the full academy.
And where are you getting funding from? Because that's obviously a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, it's not that our sport has got the profile it used to have in the 80s, 90s, you know. So it is harder to get funding. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that believe that we do have the talent. And, you know, so we gain support from Investec, Stoneag, Remgro, Adidas, Virgin Active, you know, so we've got a whole range of support, and there's a lot of people that believe we have the talent, and you know, so, and now it will be step by step forward.
I want to go back to your stellar career, and you know that I remembered like yesterday, 1992 Summer Olympic Games, the 10,000 meters, Ilana Mayo winning silver. Just one of those incredible runs. And I mean, is that still, would that be the biggest highlight of your career?
You know, I always, thinking back of my career, that certainly was the emotional highlight. I think sort of, you know, that's the apartheid's years racing in isolation in South Africa from stepping into the international arena. You know, so specific race, you know, there was so much emotion. It was such a roller coaster road to get there. It was so much frustration. You know, so that certainly will be the emotional highlight, I think. You know, but apart from that, there was unbelievable other highlights. You know, I always wanted to be the fastest, you know, so to be able to break the record on five occasions was certainly, you know, highlights that will never leave me. But, you know, I think thinking back of the Olympics and how much emotion went into getting there, you know, I thought, you know, that will always be very, very special.
I mean, you set records road running wise, 15 kilometers, the half marathon, you set an African record as well. I mean, I guess it is, the older you get, the further you run. I mean, what for you would be, I mean, I take it, are you still running competitively?
No, absolutely not. You know, I think, you know, with time you realize, you know, I don't know, need to show that I'm getting slower. You know, I retired back in 2006, you know, and really very satisfied. I think, you know, I gave 15 years of my life dedicated to my running career. I loved it. You know, I'm a passionate runner, enjoyed the traveling, enjoyed the racing. But, you know, it's also, you know, it was also, I also knew that, you know, you've got a window of opportunity that you need to grab and utilize to the full. You know, since I retired, you know, I continue to be involved in the sport. You know, the previous 6 years, you know, like really grassroots with the JAX Foundation implementing grassroots programs. You know, and with that then I just realized that, you know, you need the pathway up, you need the heroes on the top, you need the role models. You know, so I will still involved in the sport, but definitely not in a competitive way.
Finally, your message to youngsters out there, runners that want to get involved in the sport, what would be your message?
You know, I think it's such a running is such a wonderful sport. I think you can determine where you want to go, and you know, with hard work, you can really achieve it. And you know, there really is some amazing opportunities out there. You know, people can race wherever they can, but there is no elevator to success. You know, you have to, you know, start taking the stairs, and you'll be rewarded. And for me, it was a great journey. You know, even though I've got a degree or two, the greatest learning came through my sport. It was definitely also the greatest teacher.
Ilana Meyer, one of South Africa's finest athletes. Great chatting to you, Ilana, and all the best with the academy as well. And hopefully to catch up soon again sometime.
Okay, thanks a lot, Gwen.
Take care then. Ilana Meyer, yeah, what an athlete. And giving back to the sport, those are the kind of people that deserve all the accolades and all the funding. And I'm glad to see that the sponsors are getting involved with her academy. Tuesday, TV-wise, ATP Tour Finals. You've got Champions League action, quite a few games. Pick of them, Real Madrid against Juventus, Real Sociedad against Manchester United. Then PSL, Ajax against Chiefs, that's a big game Tuesday night. FINA World Cup in Singapore, day one on Tuesday. Wednesday, TV-wise, South Africa, Pakistan, third ODI. Momentum One Day Cup, Cobras, Warriors, West Indies, India, first test. Champions League action, pick of the games, Barcelona, AC Milan, Dortmund against Arsenal, and then Napoli against Marseille. PSL, Sundance against Free State Stars. Thursday, golf-wise, it's the Turkish Open, and on the PGA Tour, it is the McLaddery Classic. Hello, Norm.
Have a gram.
How things?
Lekker, thanks for asking, and how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How was the show at Monty?
It was good, eh? I won man of the match.
Well done, Norm.
Yeah, thanks, man. You're the guy. No one laughed, but I thought I was brilliant.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, but listen, Graham.
Uh-huh.
Are you also a little bit of a funny color red at the moment?
Why is that?
For Movember. Are you not supporting Movember?
What's that? So you mean that I haven't shaved?
I thought it was you had to be mauve for the month of November. What do you mean shaving?
Mauve. You thought you had to be mauve. So
yeah.
Have you painted your face mauve?
My whole body.
You must look beautiful.
Well, let's be honest. If I go and have a quiet time in the bathroom, people know. You know what I mean? I don't understand this, but you know what, hey, Graham? Speaking of bathrooms, I've decided I'm going to upgrade things here at a park.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've put the webcams at the urinals.
Webcams at the urinals?
Yeah.
In the men's toilets?
Yeah.
For what?
For live streaming. Do you know what I mean? I thought about that when I was listening to my neighbors argue on Saturday. Because, yes, I tell you, the steering next door, eh? You know, Graham, some people are stupid, but then you get really stupid. There's no I in dyslexic, if you know what I mean. You know what, hey? She was so angry with him because he thought she was still wearing a Halloween costume. Turns out she just hadn't put her makeup on. Graham, I want to ask you, did you check, you know, this Chinese, he's a double Olympic swimmer, hey? His name's Sun Yang.
Okay.
Did you hear about him?
No.
Anyway, I thought Sun Yang was a core, but you know, he's been sentenced to 7 days in police custody, eh?
For what?
For colliding with a bus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I mean, what is a bus doing in a pool? You know what? I think there's a bit of confusion because Sun Yang is a core. Maybe they it's not really a bus. It was just like a big oak called Greyhound or something. Because you know, they've got funny names there, eh? And then I wanted to tell you something else. The O's were talking at Monty's casino.
Yeah.
I never met Monty, eh? I never saw him. But there were some people talking about the game against the Welsh.
This Saturday, yeah?
Yeah, and I actually choked on a piece of ice, and while I was trying to get it out, apparently I had a full conversation with a Welsh dude. Honestly, Graham. And I'm very disappointed with the Soweto Marathon, eh?
Well, why are you disappointed?
Well, you know, the times have changed, Graham. We need to go with them. It used to be that people tried to run out of Soweto, now they're trying to run in. Let's embrace it.
Norm, I love your work, boy.
Oh, and I miss you, Graham. You really must come and visit. I know I always say it. But I want to say to Shane Warne that he must stop knocking old Alistair Cook about being a bad captain.
I see that.
Because let's be honest, who's got the ashes? And if you go and read the article, the picture of Shane Warne, he's busy standing there smoking. That's the only ashes he's got.
Love your work, Norm.
Okay, Graham, I love you, and I'll catch you soon.
How's my kid?
Your kid? He's about 3 going on 14. He's just started smoking.
Good night, Norm.
Okay, love you, Grandpa.
From all the team, that's Sportsfire. Good night. All the sports, all the news, Sportsfire. Asking the questions no one else will. Join me, Graham Joffe, as we scrum down with players, coaches and administrators. 1 hour of hard-hitting, informing, controversial, entertaining sports talk. Sportsfire, powered by Ricoh.